grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is written in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 7, the Old Testament lesson. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, to ungird the loins of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and break the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I still know you, for you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I gird you, though you do not know me, that men may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form life and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I am the Lord who do all these things. This text says a great deal to us about relationship to the Lord. You see here in Isaiah 45, God's relationship to Cyrus, king in Babylon. God's doing great things in Cyrus' life, primarily for one purpose, for his people. He has a special relationship to him, his people, Jacob, his servant, and Israel, his chosen one. By God's grace, we have this close relationship to the Lord, that of spiritual Israel, God's servant and his chosen ones in Christ Jesus our Savior. We examine this text this morning, praying that we may grow in our appreciation of this relationship we have to the faithful God. Recently, I heard a story which illustrates the importance of knowing this relationship. A well-educated man boarded a ferry across the river, and he struck up somewhat of a conversation with the attendant. Know anything about philosophy? No. Then one-fourth of your life is gone. Know anything about theology? Not much. Another fourth of your life is gone. Know anything about the classical languages? No. Then another fourth of your life is gone. Just at this point, the ferry overturned, and both of the men were thrown into the river. The attendant called to the well-educated man, know anything about swimming? The man replied, no. Then all of your life is gone. We have a similar question that we can ask of people. Know anything about Jesus Christ? To say no to this question is the most tragic thing in the world. Knowing him is everything. It's the most important thing for us and for the people to whom we minister all of our days. Cyrus did not know the Lord. He had his God. Marduk was the one who won all of his battles for him. Yet Isaiah prophesied that the Lord would use this Cyrus, that God would make him rule over many nations for several reasons. That Cyrus would come to know the Lord, that all men may come to know the Lord, but most important of all, for the sake of Jacob, his servant, and Israel, his chosen one. When God made Cyrus the ruler, he had in mind primarily his servants and elect of all time. Even though, to our knowledge, Cyrus never did know the Lord in that personal relationship, he was given the title in our text, Anointed, the Anointed One. He's the only foreigner in the Bible with this title. God gave him this title because it was through Cyrus' hand that the Lord made ready many of the ingredients for the coming of the kingdom of God. There was peace for Israel, the return from captivity, the rebuilding of the temple, God did all of these things primarily for that small nation, Israel. God was continuing to prepare the way for the coming of the Savior of the world, that in the fullness of time he might send forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But Cyrus is blind to God's purpose. His blindness is not because God's purpose had never been revealed. His blindness was rank unbelief. He refused to recognize God's purpose for what it was. By nature, we are blind. Every bit as blind as Cyrus. We have God's word, which tells us of God's action in history for our sake, and yet we have difficulty recognizing God's hand at work in our lives. Our doubts are stirred. One of the hardest questions we'll probably ever face for ourselves and maybe with somebody else is, why is this happening to me? We have a lot of difficulty with this, but God assures us that he who created light and darkness makes no mistake. He took Cyrus by the right hand that the way would be prepared for the Savior of the world. This same God has created the life of faith in Christ in our lives, and he assures us that he takes us by the hand also. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. In addition to our not recognizing God's hand, not recognizing this relationship we have to the one true God, we have trouble in that we're so enamored with many of the things around us that we forsake and forget this relationship we have to the Lord. Cyrus had plenty of other things to attract his attention. The rough places became smooth. God gave him the authority over great kings. Nations were subdued to him. He had a tremendous wealth. If he had been told that all these things were happening in his life for the sake of that nation Israel, he probably would have laughed. I have done all this through my great work, cunning tactics, superior leadership. Satan comes to us to look at the work of our hands. And sometimes we see teaching skills, great potential, academic success, and we sometimes get the idea maybe we're in control of things. We look at all of our successes of the past, and God's relationship to those successes pretty much drops out of the picture. We forget that relationship so quickly. We need to remember the words of Francis of Assisi when he was asked how it was that he accomplished so much. He replied, this may be why. The Lord looked down from heaven and said, where can I find the weakest, smallest man on earth? Then he saw me and said, I found him. I will work through him. And he won't be proud of it. He'll see that I am only using him because of his insignificance. The Lord spoke many years before Cyrus, indicating that the successes that he would enjoy were for the sake of his people. Whatever successes we experience are the result of God's work, and they come in our lives for the sake of Israel, his chosen one, and Jacob, his servant. That means all people who are here through the work of the one suffering servant who came into the world realizing our broken relationship, who came into the world because of that broken relationship, that he might restore us to the Father. Through the work of Christ, we are assured here in Isaiah that we are God's servants despite our sinfulness. God says to Isaiah, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy net, return to me, for I have redeemed you. Amen.